Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette, and man, we have got a treat today, an absolute business legend in Arkansas, and I'll go on and tell you a longtime friend, Jim Keat. Been wanting to get Jim on for a long time. You stay busy, my friend. You've been hard to land, but I finally got you landed for 30 minutes here.
Hey, listen, we go way back.
Yeah.
Yesterday we were...
Jim and I were in Republican politics when Republicans just weren't cool at all in Arkansas, right?
Oh, man. Just looking
we
back...
We could all name each other. There were so few of us.
I was only the eighth Republican to be elected to the House since Reconstruction, and only the fifth to be elected to the Senate since Reconstruction. So there weren't many of us around.
No, there really weren't. Jim, we're going to talk about your business career more than politics. But I do tell people, you know, now at a time when Republicans dominate the state like Democrats did in those days, and I know you and I never thought we would see that kind of switch, but I tell people, literally, I worked in my first Republican campaign full-time in 1984, and basically all the activists that were active around the state, you all knew each other on a first-name basis because there were so few of us out there.
I still remember going to the Capitol Hotel and meeting with Asa Hutchinson.
Uh-huh.
And when he was going to run for the Senate, you know, for the first time. And I'll never forget that, sitting in the corner there and him kind of outlining his vision of what he saw for the future of the country. And what a great guy. And we still are friends to this day.
Yeah, yeah. I was speaking this. Now, this was as recently as 1992, where things still had not taken off. So I'm speaking to the Pine Bluff Rotary Club, back when it was a really big club, met at the convention center there. Right. And I said, I'm glad to see my friend Jay Dickey here today, and he's running for Congress. And I'm so happy he is, because we need competition in this state. You know, right. We'd all preach that at the time. We need a two-party system. And then I went a little bit further, Jim, and I said, but I grew up in the 4th District of South Arkansas, and I'll never live to see a Republican congressman from South Arkansas. Jay wins on the same night Bill Clinton's elected president in 92. Until the day he died, you know how Jay would get onto something and not let go. And every time I saw him, he'd go, "You remember that speech you gave at the Rotary Club?" And I said, "Yeah, Jay, you've only reminded me like 300 times about it."
Well, you can't be right all the time.
Exactly, exactly. Let's get back to business, though. Talk a little bit. I mean, you started. Boy, a real up and comer in the hotel business, and yet it was the restaurant business that brought you to Arkansas finally in the 1970s. Talk a little bit about how that switch happened.
Well, it was interesting. I had been running Holiday Inns all over the country, mm-hmm. and after I graduated from SMU and worked my way through there in restaurants, and I started in the restaurants when I was 15 at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
You're native of Springfield, Missouri.
Springfield, Missouri. I had been recruited to go to Holiday Inn to be in charge of all operational input for design and planning worldwide, renovations and new construction. So I had an opportunity to meet Jerry Hamra. We struck it off immediately and literally struck a deal between Memphis and Little Rock. And I had never been to Little Rock at that point.
You drove over with Jerry from Memphis.
That's correct.
Okay.
We struck a deal, both a business deal and the beginning of a longtime friendship. And we ended up doing 25 Wendy's together and a couple of Sister's Chicken and Biscuits. Mm. Had a great run, and then I had an opportunity to become the chairman of a company that was up and coming. That it was called, Maxie's of America, and out of Tallahassee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to commute; I didn't have to move.
So you stayed in Little Rock
and just commuted back and forth. And then we sold to Rally's, and it was a great transaction for me, for all of our shareholders, you know, and all that. And then got in back in the hotel business. A group of us founded Guest House International. And so we developed that across the country and, again, got very fortunate and were purchased by a publicly traded company called Suburban Lodges out of Atlanta. And so I've kind of been in and out of the hotel business for a long time, but always I love the restaurant business. And the greatest part about the restaurant business now is I get to work with my two boys.
Exactly.
You know, 18 years together.
Got three kids running all these restaurants, yeah, now.
Well, actually four because my sister-in-law runs Keat Advertising and does a great job for all 29 of our restaurants. Yeah, she's very special.
Yeah, yeah. I want to back up in a minute and talk about kind of the overall picture and the brands that you have and your plans to expand those brands. But the thing that really propelled me to get you on now is I want to first talk specifically about the Breckenridge Village project that's becoming basically a midtown entertainment district, for lack of a better term. I know you still got some retail there and open to that and offices there and so forth. But that complex, which people of my age have, you know, great memories of hanging out at John Barleycorn's, going to movies, you know, and people of my age, really good memories and were really excited. But I was excited for a bigger reason because I see it really is a catalyst for revitalizing a whole section of the state's largest city that needs to be revitalized and bringing people there again. So walk me through a little bit about how the whole Breckenridge project came about, and then we can talk about what we're seeing going on right now
there. Well, Hank Kelly and I have been friends for many years. We'd only done business together one time, but in a smaller deal, but and then a guy that I've done a lot of restaurants with, Mike Bodner, got interested in this project. Bo Briggs and Hank at that point were pretty much in charge of what was going on and were really looking to take a different direction. And so we all got together and decided to take a real leap of faith at that point because there were just an awful lot of things that needed to be done. And so you mentioned an entertainment district, and kind of the vision was to create a sense of energy and a place where you want to go.
Exactly.
And have a lot of different choices and different cuisine and things like that, and then completely redoing the theater. So we looked at an awful lot of options. What happened to the theater is that the parent company went broke and declared bankruptcy both in England and in Canada. So they kind of put the theaters in three pots. We definitely want to keep it. We might keep it or we definitely don't. We were kind of in the middle and they negotiated a bad deal. And we kind of told them to hit the road. And then we had a lot of different opportunities that could have helped, but we held out for the right opportunity. So the Shulman Group out of Weatherford, Texas is going to be opening that theater, we hope, in about July or so. They've got virtually all the demo done now. They're spending millions of dollars redoing it with eight perfect theaters. And in addition to that, a duck pin bowling on one side and an activity center on the other side and a more robust menu. So it's going to be another really good addition. And we are now designated as an entertainment district.
It is a true, like I said, catalyst for things in that whole part of town. Talk a little bit about the restaurant mix, and you've basically got ownership in most of these restaurants. So a little bit about the mix you did there, because it is quite the mix.
It really is, and my oldest son Tommy has really been the tip of the spear on a lot of this. My big deal was kind of working with a banker that I trust to get it financed, and you wouldn't believe how quickly he got it done for us. David Strasley at Reliance deserves a lot of credit. And then also Chris Johnson, the president of First Financial, they have been wonderful partners on a variety of projects. So literally, we got a commitment in 3 days.
Wow.
Over a weekend.
Wow.
So they have been fantastic to deal with in every way. So, excuse me, as we tried to envision what this could look like and designated the spaces and what would really work, everything from walking through to the amphitheater. That's the only thing I designed in this whole thing, this is the kind of the amphitheater. But Tommy took the initiative to get Waldo's, where we own part of that brand, mm-hmm. and have locations in Arkansas as well as Oklahoma. So we got them on board, and he worked with Shelby Cotton to design that whole thing. Worked with the Jackson brothers, who are absolutely awesome, hardworking folks from Mount Fuji. We have a long-term relationship with Tony Villanotti, so we got DeLuca's there. And again, in each of those, and also Flyway Brewery should be open in August or so.
Right.
But in all of those, we have a piece of the parent company, and the hope being, as an example, with Waldo's, that ultimately we have 20 locations, you know, in Arkansas and in Oklahoma.
That's exciting. Yeah.
Right. So Jack, who has done such a marvelous job on South on Main, you know, with the Root, mm-hmm. Decided to come along, and we don't own any of that. We just lease it to him, but he's doing great. Travis Hester is one of the investors, and he has Eat My Catfish,
Eat
of
My
course.
Catfish, right.
Their sales are way up.
That's great to hear.
And so it's just really thriving, and we've just been very blessed, and especially around Easter, we're just very thankful that, you know, that things have gone so well. We're very
fortunate. And I know how much work's been involved. You're being nice because you say you've been very blessed. You were so blessed that one of the worst tornadoes in Little Rock history, your complex was ground zero for that two
years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. It was March 31st, and there's kind of a funny story about that.
You at your office when that?
I was.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I'm sitting in my office. It was 1:53. My sweet daughter-in-law, I was telling you about, that does such a great job on all of our advertising and mm-hmm. all that, came into my office and she said, "I'm a little concerned about the potential for this storm. I want to go pick up the kids." And she said, I gave one of those looks like, "Oh, another excuse to get out of here early." You know, that kind of a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said, "Yeah, go ahead and go take care of the kids." So we cleared the office out. I was sitting there, and so at about 15 minutes later, I thought, you know, I need to go check on my wife just mm-hmm. in case. I'm literally going west on Chenal Parkway.
And see the tornado on the ground?
The tornado is on the other side of the green space.
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I'm calling my wife saying, I'm passing by the tornado heading in the other direction, you know, heading east. And it hit so many of our restaurants, or you have an apartment complex and, you know, different investments around Arkansas or Little Rock. So a friend of Tommy's sent him a picture from the Weather Service that showed the exact path of the tornado. And it had closed our Chenal store. Mm-hmm. It had narrowly missed Petite and Keat, but still did damage. We had to close there for a while. Then it went to Breckenridge. Then it went
multiple of your projects.
Then it went to Cantrell, to the Tzatziki's mm-hmm. that on Cantrell.
Yeah.
And we have a video from what was Count Porcula of it going right towards that when it veered off, and then went to North Little Rock, and we had some damage. And so he sent this depiction and encircled it, kind of a parabolic deal, and he said, "This is the Keat redevelopment plan for 2024. So at any rate,
funny at the time, but that's a funny line now. Yeah.
Well, we were so blessed. We had no injuries, some damage, but not that much. And
you must have had, you talk about your great bankers. You must have had great insurance companies too, because it seemed like you all moved quickly. I saw work going on there pretty soon after the tornado. Yeah.
Immediately. Well, let me put it this way: we're still talking to our insurance company, shall I say, because we wanted to do it right, irrespective of anything that we had not yet collected, which is significant. Mm-hmm. These years later, we're working on it.
Gotcha.
But it didn't slow us down in terms of our vision about what we wanted to create. So, again, we're just this Easter time were very thankful, mainly because none of our people got hurt. That's always our first concern. And in fact, at the Chenal Fizikas location, our area supervisor and at the time assistant manager literally pulled a woman and her daughter into the restaurant and went back into the walk-in because nobody would let them in. And they literally pulled them inside and the daughter's shoes were sucked off.
Wow.
So we were lucky.
Yeah. I had, you talked about your Cantrell location. I had actually eaten breakfast in the Purple Cow location right down the street that was leveled in that tornado the day before. I had had breakfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In that just the day before that was leveled. But you bounced back, and now we were recent Sunday night, and it was just packed. My son and my wife and I were in your Waldo's location there at Breckenridge. Your place is, at least to the naked eye, you know the business numbers, but seem to be doing very well there right now.
Again, we're very fortunate, but a friend of mine said a long time ago, the harder that you work, the luckier you'll get. And so, you know, our whole je ne sais quoi, if you will, about what makes us different is that we all work our tails off. And we have been very blessed in having very low turnover. We have people that started out with us as a grill man that are now general managers of busy locations. And so we try to treat people properly, and we just have a credo about providing exceptional service and exceptional food every time without exception. We don't accept anything other than the best, and if we have a problem, we fix it.
Yeah.
With our guests.
Yeah. You do have an amazing company. I will tell those of you listening to this podcast is back during the very heart of the pandemic, before there were any vaccines that have been developed yet, Jim calls me. My oldest son was back from law school. He has an autoimmune disease, and we were just being careful to an extreme, and an excited Jim Key calls me and says, look, you've got to come see the Cypher Social. This has turned out so well. And I said, Jim, I'm not going anywhere right now. I promised my wife. He said, no, you got to see it. We'll all mask up. You'll remember. And I came out and took a tour before you opened there.
That's right. Well, we're actually going to open.
Beautiful facility, beautiful restaurant, and obviously it's been a great success. But talk about going hard. Here's these guys doing it right during the heart of the pandemic. You were finishing that project.
We actually opened on March, I believe it was March 18th, the Highway 10 Tzatziki's, right after all that hit, and we could only open with the drive-thru. And Tommy had the guts, he and Jake, my youngest son, who's amazing, and again, you know, very hard worker and so technically competent and helps us both in operations and everything else. But they're a great team to support what we do. But, I mean, there were just some pretty tough times, you know, having to close restaurants for a while because we were forced to. And one of the conversations that was the toughest I've ever had was talking to 62 employees at the Petite and Keyed, and just tell them that we can't open right now, but we're going to reopen as soon as possible. We're going to rehire all of you, and we're going to do some good things for you while we're closed so that you can make your rent and that kind of thing. And so I'm proud of that.
Yeah. So you've survived a pandemic. You have survived a tornado, and that's just in the last few years. So any business, there are ups and downs, and I know how hard the restaurant business is, but you have landed on some concepts that are just really popular. You mentioned you would like to grow, you said 20 Waldo's in Arkansas and Oklahoma total?
Yes. Well, 20 in each.
Oh, 20 in each state? That's right. Great.
We've got a great partner in Oklahoma. And we actually have Tzatziki's and Waldo's in Oklahoma, and we have really good partners, separate partners in those brands. And so we want to do more Tzatziki's in Arkansas and over there. But our
how many tzatzikis do you have open now?
We have 10.
10 of those, okay.
Yeah, 8 in Arkansas and 2 in Oklahoma. And then we have 3 Waldos in Oklahoma, and we have 4 here in Arkansas.
Okay.
3 in Central Arkansas, and then 1 in Northwest Arkansas on Walton Avenue.
Gotcha. So both of those appear to be on a growth trajectory right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really proud because we helped develop the Tzatziki's brand. Mm-hmm. When we got involved in it, there were 3 in Birmingham. And we were kind of asked to come along beside them and help them develop it. And so we have. We're the largest franchisee. And they asked me then a bit later, excuse me, after I got my ass kicked running for governor. Not the first time.
That's a good way to focus you back on business.
That's right. Well, Ray Thornton kicked my ass, and then been the most popular governor in America at the time. Did it second time.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely a recovering politician now. But at any rate, we have been very fortunate, and we just have such great people that we're surrounded by that take their business seriously and really care about their staffs.
Yeah. So. You know, I kind of think of myself, and I'm not a good cook, but I can't eat, as you know, and I kind of think of myself as a foodie, like to write about restaurants, keep up. When I worked for the Delta Regional Authority in the Bush administration, our headquarters was in Clarksdale, Mississippi, and I'd spend several nights a week there. And just to get out of Clarksdale, I loved running over to Oxford and going to Square Books, which is my favorite bookstore in the country, but going to John Currence's restaurants, and that's where I first found Big Bad Breakfast. And my gosh, what a fan, because I go back to the original in Oxford. We now have 2, not just 1, but 2 of those right here in Little Rock.
That's right. John is a great guy, and we were looking for a way to get involved with him. Big Bad Breakfast was the most obvious vehicle. And Mike Bodner, that I'd mentioned before, mm-hmm. We've been friends since 1979 in the Wendy's business. Ben Brainerd got involved, and he's really the driving force in both the Big Bad Breakfast brand right now as well as Waldo's in Central Arkansas.
Gotcha.
And just a great guy.
Ben really is, yeah.
You know, just first of all, a wonderful chef. He really understands food, but he's really good with his people, and he's in there working with them every day. And that's what we expect from all of our folks, mm-hmm. I have everybody read a book that's called The 5 Steps of Leadership, and you can either force people to do what you ask them to do because they don't have a choice, or you can develop them over time so that they want to emulate you and do it because that's part of who they become. And that summarizes Ben and a lot of other people that, Mark Young and the Tzatziki's, Brent Lenners, that is responsible for Petite and Keith, Cypress, and DeLuca's here. Just great people, and his wife Tyler is awesome. I mean, we're surrounded by really exceptional people.
Well, you have set the example as far as knowing all your people, not being above any of them, willing to do everything that needs to be done. We were visiting recently, and I want you to tell the story. You left Little Rock for about 5 years, lived in Florida. You came back. You were CEO of the Barnhills Restaurant Group. Talk about, because I love this story, and it shows me what a great business leader you are. But talk about embedding yourself in restaurants and them not knowing you're the CEO of the company.
Well,
and I just love that story.
That brand had done very well, and it had a wonderful trajectory, and then all of a sudden it kind of flattened out and was not doing well. So I had been one of the people that helped found the company. It was a different company that we acquired, Barnhills Detail, but mm-hmm. I'd always been on the executive committee and all that. And they asked me to go take it over. And I said, well, I can't be the chairman and the president and CEO because I don't want to get distracted with board-related stuff. So but I want to really understand the business. So first thing I did was talk to my family, and I said, now, if things work out, you know, I need to make sure you're okay with moving to Pensacola. And at the time, my youngest son, Jake, was midway through his junior year in high school.
Ooh, that's a tough age to remember.
Cassie was midway through freshman year.
Yeah.
So they said, oh, yeah, we'll go to Florida. That'll be fun. Until the day that I called them the day after Thanksgiving and said, we're moving to Florida. They're like, no, no. At any rate. I really missed an opportunity, Rex. I could have been worth an awful lot of money right now if I had thought of this at the time. But the bottom line was I told the board what I wanted to do is embed myself with them thinking I was a manager trainee.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent about 3 months in Castleberry, Orlando, Florida.
Orlando.
In Jonesboro, Memphis. Everybody thought I was a manager trainee. And so one day, this really hardworking person who was responsible for the salad department in a restaurant that was about 12,000 feet, you know, doing about $5 million in sales. I mean, it was a good mm-hmm. restaurant. Mm-hmm. I had worked my butt off that day. And so after about 12.
Doing everything had to be done. Yeah.
I went to the restroom once and had some water. That was about it. And so after that long day, I walked up to her and she was getting ready to leave. And I said, well, how'd I do today? She said, well, I would rather have some help than no help, and turned around laughing and walked off. So about 2 weeks later, I got the staff together, and I had a morning crew and a night crew.
Right.
I had two cakes made up. And the cake, I said, would you come on up here? Would you read this for me? She said, thank you for all of your help in training me over the last 3 months. Jim Keed, president and CEO. She goes, oh, Lord. You know, so at any rate, we had a great relationship because I've always thought that if your people really know that you'll do anything
that has to be done. Yeah.
Cleaning toilets. I'm an expert.
Yeah.
You know, mopping floors. Of course, right now, my sons will tell you the only thing I'm really good at is on the, you know, the ass end of a mop. You know, mopping, but I'm still pretty good at that.
Yeah.
I'm not a bad cook, but I'm not a chef.
The good ones do. I'll mention a restaurant that's not your restaurant, but I remember shortly after the pandemic when everybody was still chronically understaffed. I know staffing's still a big issue, but we're chronically understaffed. And I had somebody just amazed and said, I was in Corky's and Joe Klein was bussing tables.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I said, of course he was. That's what a good owner does when it has to be done.
And just a good man, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We're good friends. He's a great guy. We used to be neighbors. And
yeah.
He's just a heck of a guy.
And I could see that in a second, that would not be beneath him at all. If it had to be done, it was
that's
done.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, he has to bend over a little bit more to clean those tables than I do.
Yeah. that is for sure. Now, I'm running out of time, but I want to kind of finish up. I could go on and on talking about your career, but want to finish up where we kind of started, and that was with Breckenridge Village, such an exciting project for Little Rock. So the old theater space will be coming online soon. Flyway will be coming online soon. Is there still available space in the center? Still
there is
future
some.
Things we may see happen? I'm just curious.
There's not going to be any more restaurants.
Gotcha. Because that will be the old
right.
Place. Okay.
That's correct. It'll be retail, maybe even some office.
Gotcha.
We're pretty much full.
That's
and
great.
So, you know, Hank Kelly and his staff and Daryl Peoples, and he surrounds himself with great people as well. And so we're fortunate to be partners with him and, you know, Mike Bodner and Jackson Dell is leases from us, but he's a great guy and kind of replicated what he did on South on Main at The Root, and Travis Hester and, you know, Brent Leonard's again, mm-hmm. and all the other stuff. I mean, we're just, we're very blessed. And of course, we love Tony Villanotti. I mean, he's
character.
He's a character, but
he's been on this show before.
Yeah,
and, Tony's great.
He lightens. He it energizes the entire room when we walk through the door.
Absolutely.
So we're very blessed. We've got some great folks and great partners.
Oh, you really do. And again, I think you're a catalyst for really with Breckenridge helping all of Midtown. And before we finish up, since I do sit here and work in my office at Capital and Scott the other day, back to Big Bad Breakfast. Thank you for investing in downtown. You know, that one block, that 300 block now, as you know, has 7 restaurants operating on that one block. And, you know, in a day and time, and you travel all over the country too, when so many downtowns of cities are struggling, that's kind of exciting to see that in downtown Little Rock.
It is.
That kind of activity.
And again, Ben Brainerd was really the leader on that, along with John Currents that you mentioned earlier, who's a great chef and a great guy and a great partner and a great friend. He really, you know, pressed for that location, and we decided to take the financial leap, you know, to do it. And, you know, we're a minority partner there, but you know, our butts are on the line with everybody else on all the guarantees and all that. And we have an amazing manager there. His name is Dragana, and a great manager as well out at Bowman, whose name is Hines. And they work so hard. So they do us proud. And, you know, my sons and I, we have kind of a credo that I've instilled, I believe, and that is to find a way to say yes. You know, so many people are so negative, and they find a way to say no to charities or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to find a way to say yes and support the city in so many different ways. And that sounds a little braggadocious. I don't mean for it to be. It's just part of our who we are. And investing in downtown, investing, you know, when we did Petit and Keat, that area of town was not doing great.
That's
either.
A good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
And, of course, Cypress Social, we basically tore it down and rebuilt it. The only thing that is left there is a concrete slab in the kitchen.
You were down at the slab pretty much. I remember you telling me that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's some funny stories about that.
Even had to clean up the lake. It was muddy when you got there, wasn't it?
Well, we had to deepen it. We spent, I probably shouldn't say.
More than you care to count.
Yeah. My sons have something that they love to tell people. They say, I hate to hear my dad say the word cool, that I have a cool idea, because every time he says cool,
it means expensive.
It costs between $1,000 and $1,000,000. Anyhow, just, you know, again, so blessed to be able to work with him.
One more thing, and I keep thinking of things quickly, but as we're taping this, you've got to get to an advertising and promotion commission meeting. You're a longtime member there, and since we're talking about Big Bad Breakfast and that block with 7 restaurants, we talk about downtown. I know there are plans being worked on to refresh Market Hall and to kind of bring back the River Market District. And I think that's very important for Little Rock, too.
It is. What most people don't know is the Convention and Visitors Bureau doesn't misrepresent us nationally, internationally, and regionally. We also run everything.
Yeah, unlike most A&Ps across the country.
That's correct. So we run.
You're an operator.
Robinson Auditorium, the State House Convention Center, all the parking garages, the Cromwell Building, River Market, the Amphitheater, and the Ottenheimer Building. So
you're a big real estate agency too. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So we're pretty, well, I hate to say pretty close. We have made a lot of progress to do some very exciting things, hopefully in the pretty near future. So, you know, I was the chairman, I guess, for 7 years, and I kind of have a succession plan in place now. So I'm just on the finance committee, but I'm not the chairman anymore. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, but no, it's a good thing that you're still involved, because I know you've got a vision for that. And we get a new exciting concept in those market halls. And again, I use that word catalyst that I use for Breckenridge and Midtown, but I think we see those empty spaces then begin to fill up again.
That's right.
Up and down President Clinton Avenue.
That's right. Well, as an example, we're going to have a downtown visitor center that we're starting construction on here right away, actually have already kind of started. And so that's going to be a great thing for downtown as well. So we're putting our money where our mouth is. We're investing in the future of the city. And the good news is that we now did over $25 million in revenue last year. So we're up to about 190 employees in the CVB, and we're going to continue growing.
Yeah. Well, Jim, thank you for not slowing down. And I'll just tell you, as a fellow Little Rock resident, please keep coming up with quote unquote cool ideas. And I'll tell Tommy and Jake, you find the millions to implement those cool ideas.
Thank you. I appreciate that. They'll love hearing that. Thanks, Rex.
It's always I put them on the spot. You keep coming up with ideas. They can find the financing for them.
Hey, listen, they come up with plenty of great ideas, too. So, at any rate, it's always great to be with you. Thank you for
Thanks,
the invitation.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for your friendship. Jim Keat, our guest today, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.